Well, hey, everybody, today is December 15th, and we're taking a look at the book of Ephesians from the New Testament of the Bible. And I just want to run you through a little bit of an outline of the book of Ephesians as we study it so that you can understand it a little bit better. As you're reading through, watch for four key points that come across in Ephesians. One is the new life that God has given us in Christ Jesus. The second is the new society that God expects through Christ. Third is the new standards that God expects of his new society, especially in terms of unity and in terms of purity. And then finally, the new relationships that God has brought us into, marriage relationships, work relationships, and a relationship of hostility towards the devil. So we'll be taking a look at each of these different things. Now, Ephesians is a book that was written to a group of people who were new believers. They were reasonably well taught by Paul, who spent an extended period of time in the city of Ephesus. But he writes them back this kind of basic handbook of new believerness. As a matter of fact, it's been such a great book that for me, when I used to train students in InterVarsity of what it means to be a believer in Jesus and to follow him well, we would use the book of Ephesians as our guide. So it starts off, the book of Ephesians starts off with new life. And it talks all about Jesus and how he brought us salvation. And it's the most important theme of the first three chapters. Here's some things that we learn about salvation. We're told that salvation begins with God. We're told that Jesus is the one who has redeemed us. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We found out that he's abolished the wall of separation between Israel and the Gentiles and brought us near to God. We find out that the cross of Calvary defines the purpose of the incarnation. The reason Jesus came was to die for us. We found out that salvation is by grace through faith and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God so that no one would be able to boast. This is really important. You can't earn your way to God. You can't be good enough for God. You can't do enough good things to make up for the bad things so that you can get into heaven. No, no, salvation is a gift. It's free grace that comes from God. It's something that God offers up to us, not at a low cost. It was the cost of his son, but at no cost to you and no cost to me. The Holy Spirit seals our salvation, indwelling us as a down payment for the good stuff that's to come. And salvation ultimately is there with its purpose of bringing glory to God. Because those of us who are the saved ones will be thankful to him for all eternity for the things that he brings us. So don't miss the key theme of salvation in the book of Ephesians. It's the new life that God has promised us. All right, we're going to continue on. And once you have this new life as an individual, God is creating a brand new society of all of the people together. It says this, that this culture of people have been reconciled to God. When you have a whole group of people that have been reconciled to God, what that means is no person is inherently more important than the other. If salvation is a gift from God, then all of us are needy, and what we have in common is that we've received the gift, not that any of us has earned it or anyone is better than the rest. Now, that's really important because in this new kingdom, in this new economy where nobody is better than anybody else, that means there aren't distinctions between Jews and Greeks, male and female, slave or free. All of us are now one in Christ. This is huge good news. Can you imagine a culture that had no class warfare? A culture that has no racism? A culture that has no sexism that's connected to it at all. What's that culture called? It's called the church. It's called the new society, the new people of God. And this is the way that God designed it to be. Well, we've got new life, we've got a new society, then we have new standards. Chapter 4 deals with the standards that God expects of this new society, particularly with relationship to unity and purity. Also, in the fourth chapter, Paul discusses what we might call diversity in unity. So we've got all these different people out there who've got all different kinds of spiritual gifts. What Paul describes in chapter 4 is that God made it this way. He created some to be apostles and teachers and pastors and prophets and evangelists and all those other things. Why? Not so that there would be a pecking order of giftedness, but so that all the gifts would work together in harmony to accomplish the purposes of God. It's to prepare God's people for works of service that they might please God. We all have different gifts, and we're all expected to use those gifts. So one question I have to ask you is, do you know what your gifts are? And the second one is, are you using your gifts for the sake of the kingdom? If not, you're not building the body the way you're intended to. This theme of bodybuilding carries throughout the whole of the fourth chapter and ends by encouraging us not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up, building the body. So we do that by our gifts, and we do that with our language. The final section of Ephesians is focused on new relationships. And the marriage section is perhaps the most extensive and the most controversial in this arena, but it can be pretty easily summed up by two phrases. Men, love your wives. Women, respect your husbands. Love and respect. Interestingly, more modern research has figured out that more than anything, men in the marriage relationship want respect. More than anything in the marriage relationship, women want love. What do you know? God knew that all along, and he commanded it thousands of years ago in the book of Ephesians. Love and respect. And if that's something you're struggling with in your marriage, I would encourage you to pick up the book entitled Love and Respect by Emerson Eggerich. It's on this subject, and it's based on this book of Ephesians. I'd also like to point out that the key to successful relationships at the end of Philippians is willing mutual submission. Willing mutual submission. That is, when two parties, whether it's people in the marketplace, husband and wife, people in the same family, when they willingly submit to one another. And if there's some kind of a power inequity, like with a boss and an employee or a parent and a child, that even the boss, even the parent, would act with the best interest in mind of the person that they're leading. That they would willfully submit by loving that person so much that they keep their best interest in mind in everything that they do. It's amazing how when you get these things right, when everybody's racing for the bottom, relationships just seem to work. And Paul pointed that out all the way back when the book of Ephesians was written. Well, the final famous part of the book of Ephesians is found in chapter 6, where we're told to be strong in the Lord and to put on his mighty power in order to take our stand against the enemy. Because you know there's an enemy out there. He's going to be attacking you, so you've got to be ready with the armor. You remember what the armor is, right? We got the helmet of salvation. We have the breastplate of righteousness. You've got the belt of truth. You've got shoes that are fitted with the preparedness of the gospel of Jesus. You've got your sword of the Spirit in one hand and your shield of faith in the other hand. And those things together will help you as you go about fighting the devil and his schemes. Each one is important. You've got to know your salvation. You've got to be living righteousness. You've got to be founded in the truth. You've got to be ready to tell anybody anytime about Jesus. You've got to have the Word of God strongly attached to you, and you've got to have a shield that will extinguish all the fiery darts that the enemy's going to shoot at you, because it is going to happen. One of my friends used to tell me that every day he would have this ritual when he would get up in the morning. And he would know that he's going into a spiritual battle. So physically, he would take his hands and say, God, today I'm putting on this helmet of salvation. Today I'm buckling on the breastplate of righteousness. And as he did, he remembered why each of these things were critical to the spiritual battle. And it empowered him, having these six items, to go through his day ready to defeat the enemy in whatever schemes that he'd be bringing. Maybe that's something that would be important to you today. And if it is, I'd encourage you to dress up, because the battle comes at you every day. Well, God's blessings to you today. Hope you've enjoyed the book of Ephesians. God bless you.